Welcome back to the Dante Blogs Morning Coffee Podcast. We're having a little bit different beat here today. We're just going to talk about one topic. So we're going to have a rest from the Dante readings. We're just going to talk about something we looked into yesterday and we've been listening to quite a bit of podcasts now, and that is something about the nature and a bit of the history of the chatbots. So because we're using a lot now for the last 3 to 6 months or so, both Claude AI and ChatGPT. And as we often think of it, one is more like the humanities type with Claude. It's great to discuss symbolism and mythology and Dante's comedy, and also being super supportive and positive all the time. And then ChatGPT is great at creating like website code and to more like the engineering. So it's a bit more like the rigid engineer with a bit of an open mind. So sometimes you're a bit curious, like, how does this work? And then listening to like someone, we're now kind of going down the rabbit hole here with Mark Andreessen. And he has a lot of interesting stories about like the last 30, 40 years of the development of the web and the internet. And he said something that this idea of neural networks with language processing was considered dead in 2012. At that point, they just gave up. And at that point, they also had been working on this more or less since the 1940s and 50s. The whole idea of resembling how the brain works with the neurons, with the brain cells, and how they're connected in a big mesh of, I guess, trillions of nerve cells. And then how, like, a bit of the mystery how things are stored in the brain, but like you just infuse, or you just input, in a sense, information, experience into the brain, and it is somehow just kind of stored in this network. So maybe this is very basic for some people, but what we discovered then is that these models now, if you have Claude AI or if you have ChatGPT, when the model is trained, it's only a set of words, meaning then like 10, 20, 30,000 words, and they all just have a little vector, a little collection of values, maybe just 3 or 4 values, and that's it. So when you start it up, you have the whole list of words, like a long, like dictionary of sorts, or just like definition of the words. And you set random values, like 3, 4 random values, and then you propagate like information back and forth, and you run this prediction algorithm. And then you just, those values are continuously adjusted, and then you end up with a trained model, which is just that. So when you ask a question, put in a query, it's just kind of run through that model of the words with the values on them, or the weighted vectors, you might call it technically. So it means that there's absolutely no thinking whatsoever. It's just that you put in some words, it's run through this list, this very long list of weighted words in and filtered through it, and then you get a response. So it just means a couple of things, that having the discussion that this is a conscious being is at this point completely ridiculous. it's just not accurate by any means, and there's no will in it, there's no conscious thinking. They're set up with guiding lines, you might say. Like, so if you have that model, you could also add on, you can prime them like from the developer's side. They can say like, oh, be positive, avoid this and that topic, be neutral, remind the user to be careful, not take this as medical financial advice, and so on. And also like, don't offend, don't replicate negative language, and so on. So that is kind of the part with how those who make them guide the experience of using the model. And it also explains why, like, there's no learning whatsoever. Like, when you go through a conversation, when you stop it, there's no learning in the model. The model is just this list of words with those weighted vectors. So other things with this. So again, it was interesting like how this was then considered dead in 2012. In 2017, they discovered a new way of analyzing language. So if you put in a sentence, so this is very interesting. What they had to do was to emphasize the importance of especially two dimensions, which is context and relationships. So if for example, you say the cat is on the table, like table is then was then more emphasized as important because it gives context. So it's not like the cat is the center and then it happens to sit on the table. The table is very important to understand the meaning of the sentence. And then a bit like similarly, if you say like, oh, like the cat is playing with the ball, or like the person is holding a cup of coffee, then there's a relationship between the person and the cup, or like the cat and the ball. And that's also important in order to understand what it's about. So with that as a kind of changing way of analyzing sentences, like filtering sentences in when you're training the models, that caused fittingly a transformation, since they called it like transformer. So chat GPT, the T is transformation or transformer. So that is just a technical name for that. I don't think you could call it a paradigm shift, but like a huge step forward or like a change of approach of how you do it, which actually then stunned like the people working on it at how well it suddenly worked after having given it up more or less. So that's interesting with the history. Then, and as we said, it explains a little bit the nature of these chatbots. But there's another thing, which is the capabilities or capacities of these models is then very much like a discovery in itself. So if you sit and use these chatbots and you discover like, oh wow, look at what it's doing here and like and this in this place and that place, that might be things that the developers have never thought about. So like we created a tool that is doing things, and then now we just, it's not like catching up, but we are continually exploring how we can use them. And something that's been very interesting in for me in reading Dante and analyzing Paradiso and the deep mythology, not mythology, but the metaphors and symbolism in it, is how good it is at very high level of patterns, which is kind of what is defined to do, almost like designed to do. But then you see that big pattern recognition and big context recognition leads you to deep philosophy, kind of metaphysics, and also to theology, which is kind of it's a very fascinating, it's not a discovery, because that is what people have been saying all along in the ancient times and in the medieval times and in the high, like the late medieval times, like especially then 1100s, that theology is the overall framework for thinking, because that is like the, I mean, and this is not like gods on clouds. This is just like the totality of being, like the biggest frame possible, where you encompass everything into a more like holistic frame of mind to understand reality and to see bigger, deeper forces over much longer time spans. Like what is the same and what is moving over the centuries is different than like how to solve this concrete thing today or next hour. So when you step back and you look at bigger and bigger scales, this also taps into how the brain works then, because the left brain hemisphere is better at particular things and splitting them into little pieces and building a model and using that model to manipulate reality or manipulate kind of concrete things, like lifting a cup or like opening a door or something. That's kind of very much the left hemisphere is very good at that. Or building a computer also in a sense, partly of it. While grabbing the big picture, like the gestalt, as they call it, in more like psychology, is this intuitive, more difficult capability of the right hemisphere to just catch what you're seeing. Like you can see a you can see it like a picture, just like a big view, and then you kind of get, you get a sense of it, like what you're seeing, the wholeness of it. Depending also on how much you use your right hemisphere, like this is something you can train to be better at through just balancing your brain. But anyways, back to the chat bots then, like they emulate more of this right hemisphere, right brain capacity for the whole of it through this model of just weighing these vectors on words and then seeing like, well, this term and this term is at a higher level, or is like it's a, at a more overall level. So that's an interesting feature or a capability of these chat bots that we are discovering. They were not planned to to be good at discussing theology, but then we make a tool and then we discover that, oh, this is not the detailed logical way of doing things. This is the more networked kind of big mesh way of doing things. And then you get, as they call it also on this one podcast, kind of more like fuzzy knowledge, because it's sometimes wrong. It sometimes it makes things up. It's hallucinating, but then often it's also really good. So that is just some of the thoughts on the nature of the chatbots, and then the history, and then also the extraordinary potential in them, because now we can use them both for like the humanities things and for engineering things, and which is kind of those two parts of a renaissance in itself, a rebirth. Like think of Da Vinci, think of like him as an engineer and as a painter, and many of those figures from that time where they just kind of, they excelled extraordinarily in both fields as we would see them, but they would see that as just different parts of a bigger whole. So that's just the joyful little reflection on the chatbots and the potential in it. And we are looking forward to just using them more and seeing how they get better, and then just having a new tool, a new possibility to like permanently having like I'm gonna call it like something like a vehicle or like a little. Like it's a kind of a gusher of feedback, of substantive quality feedback for the most part, and then just see how it can accelerate and clarify your own thinking. And then maybe just as the last little thing there, this hallucination part is then as a byproduct a way of a computer to be creative. And this is something that was not planned for at all. But this is like a side effect of it. It's like, oh, so now we can ask the computer to make up a law case, or it can make up a quotation from Michelangelo that doesn't exist, and it can actually do it. So as kind of a fault, but then and then not to go into that topic, but it might say something about like how creativity in itself works in the human brain, that it is kind of a little bit of madness, it's a little bit of hallucination, it's a little bit of detaching yourself from reality and then replacing it with something that you just make up. So that's a whole other topic for another day. But anyways, that was all for this one. We're going to try to make these on weekdays. That I think that's the plan now for the coming weeks, like this winter, to have the Danteblogs Morning Coffee podcast from Monday to Friday, and then we take the weekends off. So hope some of this was interesting, a bit of inspiration, positive inputs for a good Friday and a great weekend. So with that, thanks so much for listening, and see you again in another episode. Bye-bye.